All right. Argumentation and debate. For you guys.
I got one earlier. Did you already get one?
Well, I got one earlier.
Pass those around. Okay. Open up page 3 on argumentation and debate. I like, if you'll notice, your first scripture verse here, Acts 17, 2, says, in Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 days he reasoned with them out of the scriptures. It took him 3 days. He didn't just go in and say, you better believe this or you're going to hell. No, he didn't just preach. He reasoned with them. And that's the point. I believe in preaching. I believe in at the door, giving the gospel out. But we're sometimes, we're very one-sided. And I want to help you develop two sides to soul winning. And before I do, I want to get a picture. See if I can fit everybody in. And if you look up here, 1, 2, 3. I'm impressed. Okay. Now, the most important book you'll need for this course is the Bible. It's the foundation of true knowledge. Okay, because somebody outside of all of your events is looking in and he can write about it. So it's all the knowledge you need on public speaking and debate. It is a guide for the use of the tongue. Do you know there are entire chapters written about that little member of your body? And it is the standard by which we should judge all books about speech and debate. Somebody wants to, I mean, there are a lot of, you can go to universities and take classes on speech and debate and public speaking, but you can sit and go, that's not right. Because I have a Bible. Now, you have a book. It's one that I got. I looked at various different ones. Some of them are very hard to get. This is the best I could do because it's from a Christian viewpoint, and it's got some good stuff, and we'll just use it. You're just going to have to take... It's my first attempt to get a textbook because I want you to be able to read outside and answer some questions that will come from this book, and it's got some good things that we'll go through. You'll be reading signed pages, some of which I list here, and there'll be others as well. Finally, you don't have to, but there's a good book I read years ago called Always Ready, Directions for Defending the Faith by a tremendous debater named Dr. Greg Bonson. And he's the only one I have ever heard of that has been able to effectively take on these atheists and people who say there's no God and demolish them. He is so good. He's so precise at destroying the way the atheist says, how can you prove there's a God? And he says, very easy. And he just... And they're just like... And he's fantastic, always ready. You can find that on Amazon. In addition, there is a great debate on the internet that you ought to listen to free. It's at straightgate.com. I encourage you to sit down and listen. First of all, you'll have to listen to it 3 times before you'll get it because he's so intense and straight up. And you go, did I just miss something? And it'll show you a debate. So that'll be important. We will have a class debate. We'll be grouping you into 2 different groups. I haven't decided who's going to go with what yet, but you'll have 2 different groups taking a for and an against a debate. We'll decide on what to debate later on. There'll be at least 1 debate towards the end of the semester, where you will have to present well-researched arguments in a passionate yet orderly fashion for the purpose of turning them minds, their minds, the minds, it should be, of your audience to your way of thinking, either against or for. Now, you got 3 scores. Notice, I'm going to kill you. Your notes, your note-taking will be 25% of your grade, both the notes of the student outline, but also notes during the debates. Secondly, the class debate is going to be 50% if you participate. If you just let somebody else do all of the work, you're not going to get a grade. But if you put out the effort, and we'll talk about the effort, then that's a half of your grade is how much you put into the debate at the end of the class. And the final exam will take 25%. All right, introduction to argumentation and debate. First of all, I want to say that debates are common in the Bible. Debates are common in the Bible. Rarely do people agree at first. Do you agree with that? Rarely do people agree with you at first. No. Proof. People need to be reasoned with and debated, not just left alone. Like our modern me-only philosophy dictates is, I just don't care. I don't want to know. People need to be reasoned with. You need to be reasoned with and prodded to think through your actions and your attitudes and beliefs. The worst kind of church is the one that leaves you alone. I mean, honestly, why would you go and live in a world and go to a church and sit and read a Bible that never convicts you, that never says you're wrong and here's how to get right? And yet most people, they only want a church like that. B, it is right and good to reason things out and to test truths. Well, I believe it because my mom believes it. I believe it because Pastor Craig believes it. That's stupid. That's what a 9-year-old does. Not everything we think is true. I'm sorry to blow your bubble. Not everything that we think is true is. Our modern generation has no time for truth. They used to just trust their priests. Now they just trust the internet. Well, I'll just go on the internet and find out. I believe what Wikipedia says. They don't care to test truths. People only want the minimal amount of effort to find out what they can get away with. You know what we call that? Hedonism. 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 Hedonism is, you just live for pleasure. That's all it is. A hedonistic society. The Bible is the presentation of one side of a debate. I'll give you one guess, whose side? God's side. Now, almost every book in the Bible contains dozens, if not hundreds, of debates between believers and non-believers, between spiritual and carnal believers. 1 Corinthians is a debate, folks. 1 Corinthians says, I have heard that you, I now have to tell you this is right. He's reasoning with them. It is between Christians and Jews. It is between God and discouraged followers. It presents debates between husbands and wives, between civil leaders and their general populations, between men and their souls. Why art thou so cast down in my why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Trust thou in God. He's arguing with himself. Now here's some specific examples, and I tell you, as I studied and prepared for this, I thoroughly enjoyed what we're going to learn. Here's some examples. We're going to learn more about these in later. Job is a book that describes Job's debate first with his wife, then with his friends, then with Elihu, E-L-I-H-U, and finally with God himself. You know what he said at the end? Behold, I am vile. You win. It wasn't just an argument for argument's sake. It was, and Job's friends couldn't beat him. He argued masterfully against his friends and won that argument. He's sitting there arguing. He argued with his wife, defeated her on the spot. Argued with Elihu, it was a draw. When he argued with God, he lost. Argument, debate, reasoning. Moses reasoned with the nation of Israel on dozens of occasions. God reasoned with Pharaoh to get him to let the Jews go. He didn't just take them. God could have just said, okay, guys, let's go out, come on, and just take them out. And Pharaoh couldn't have stopped him. But instead, God said, go sit down with Pharaoh and say, let him go. Would you let him go?
No.
And Pharaoh said, I do not know the Lord, and neither will I let them go. And Moses said, boy, you're going to hurt. And he said, have you had enough? Do you not realize God is God and Pharaoh fought? It was a debate. It was an argument. The judges in the Old Testament heard arguments, and they had to make decisions based on those arguments. That's why they were called judges. Samuel reasoned with the nation of Israel. He would stand up there and he says, guys, do you not know where we're at? Do you know? Don't you realize what we're doing and where we need to go? Jesus regularly debated with his audience. He debated about the resurrection. He debated with Nicodemus about the new birth. How can these things be so? How can you claim to be a teacher, a master in Israel, and yet not know these things? They're going back and forth, aren't they? He was challenged about paying taxes. He was challenged about how to keep the Sabbath. He was challenged about his own authority to do miracles. He was challenged concerning his ability to forgive sins. How can man forgive sins unless he's God? And Jesus debated even with Pilate. Pilate said, don't you know I have the power to crucify you? And Jesus said, all the power you got from my father. What's he doing? He's getting him to think. And he says, I find in him no fault at all. It's brilliant. The first century Christians constantly argued their point to the resurrection of the dead, constantly pointing to the fulfillment of prophecy. They were commanded to go and publicly debate people with the gospel. Go, stand, and speak of this life, God said. They met people out in the open, in the markets. Let's go to Acts. Let's just look at this. Acts 5:20. Let's see where we at. John, Acts 5 and verse 20.
So, stand and speak in the temple to the people of all the words of this life.
That's cool. Yeah. Take them on. Tell them all the words. And if they don't want to hear you, keep trying. Come at them from a different angle. All right. Acts 17:17. Thomas. Somebody made a good cup of coffee. Nah, so we can go for another hour now.
Therefore dispute... Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him.
So dispute, does that mean he discipled them? He taught them? He preached to them? Or what does dispute mean?
Went against them.
Right? Okay. He argued with them. He says, no, 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 come look at this. See what this says. That's debate.
Well, disputing is even like correcting him. Like.
Okay. Yep. Because they had their own way. And when we go out door to door, we're disputing with them. We're telling them, you're not saved, are you? You need to get born again. All right. So let's keep going. Let's look at another scripture here. Paul always reasoned with and debated with the Jews, especially about the messiahship of Jesus Christ. Acts 17:2, Graham.
And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures.
Wow. So he constantly reasoned and alleged in verse 3 and argued about the messiahship. Look at chapter 18 and verse 19. Eric.
They came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews.
Okay. So he didn't go in there and take over the pulpit, did he?
No. No.
He sat there, and when people looked at him and says, do you have anything to say? He'd say, yes, I do. And he'd begin to talk, and then they'd say, well, how can that be? And then he'd give them answers back and forth. And Paul always was, because he was an apostle to the Gentiles, he reasoned even with the pagans. Acts 24:25, Barry.
And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for
it. He's reasoning with a pagan man, an idol worship in Roman, and he reasoned with him of righteousness and judgment to come, and of temperance. And it caused Felix to tremble because he reasoned with him. Not just he preached, but he reasoned with him. All right, the goal and purpose of learning debate. A, the Stoics and the Epicureans of Greece loved debating.
Sorry, where are we?
I'm on page 5.
All right.
Oh, I can see this is going to be a long class.
Get some coffee in
them. Get some coffee in them. The Stoics and the Epicureans of Greece loved debating, but for the wrong reasons. They loved it just to argue. They're like a teenager. Why? They don't care about why. They just want you to struggle with the reason so that they can go, see, I don't actually have to do it. They just loved to argue. 2 Timothy 3:7 says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Modern debate philosophy seeks only to be the best performer. Circle that. Not the winner of the argument. Oh, we don't have winners and losers in our school. We just have people, and they do their best, and we all get an award at the end. No. Nobody wants to be the winner anymore. I want to win souls. I just don't want to present Christ. No. They need to be won to Christ. Quote, I got this off of a debate website, a website dedicated to encouraging debates. Facts do not matter. Only who debates the best. That was their goal in creating debate clubs. We want to make best debaters. It doesn't matter whether you present the best, the most facts, or whatever. People today are afraid of winning or losing debates and instead just argue for the fun of it, or for the adrenaline, or for the power they can wield like a political debater. The goal, and hey, listen, if you're a politician, it's easy to debate well and sway audience without facts. Hitler did it. Yes, sir.
Facts do not matter, only who debates best. Is that not deceitful? Because you can tell lies in it, but facts don't matter.
That's right.
Just so long as you're putting across your argument to beat down the other person.
That's exactly right.
I'm right, even though I'm wrong.
My point being, that's what modern debaters think. They only want to perform and win by being the best performer, not by getting people to believe the truth. They don't care about truth. That's my point. Okay, not that I'm promoting that.
Yeah.
Number D, the goal of any Christian debater is to persuade people to believe the Bible and to follow Jesus Christ, Acts 18:4. Who did I last have to read? Noel, Acts 18:4.
And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks.
So did he just argue, or what was the result of his debate, according to that verse? No, what was the result of it?
Oh, he's persuaded them, yeah.
Okay, yeah. He persuaded, he got them to see his side. Back to 1343, Eddie.
Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and the religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God.
Wow. So they didn't just debate. They says, now, let me persuade you to go further. These guys had already made the decision to come away from Judaism, and now they just persuaded them to stay following Christ. Look at chapter 19, 26. Back to you, John.
Moreover, we see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul had persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands.
What a great testimony. If you could go around and affect a lot of people, they go, this guy has been persuading people to turn away from idols. Yeah. Amen. 26:28, Thomas.
Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian.
Ooh. I bet you that was the saddest day for Paul. He almost got it. So what was his goal of debating, of reasoning? It was to persuade. Okay? God's people used debate and argumentation as weapons instead of war and fighting. That is our weapon. Our weapon is truth. Our weapon is being able to get people to think. My people perish for lack of
knowledge.
They don't know any better. To do this, you have to have answers and skill in reasoning. 1 Peter 3:15 says this, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Amen. Keep him holy. Keep him lift. Listen, to sanctify means keep him from being soiled. Don't let the world ever get you discouraged in the God you love and the God you trust. Keep that as the truth. Sanctify him in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to how many? Don't sit there and go, oh, that's a stupid question. When somebody says, well, where did Cain get his wife? I have an answer. No. I don't have an answer whether Adam had a belly button. I'm going to have to say, I don't know, but I know where Cain got his wife. I want to have an answer. Not that I want to be derailed from my goal of getting them saved or getting them right with God or whatever, but there's no wrong in giving them an answer and then getting them back on the big point that you're trying to give them. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. This course will only begin, I called it introduction. I thought I was going to be able to teach from argumentation debate, and I threw it away and I said, no, it's only going to be introduction. There's so much more to learn, but we'll get a good amount. We're going to develop the following skills. Abstract thinking. Both of those things, both are impossible almost for our modern generation. We don't think outside of the box. Thomas thinks as a Dutchman. You've been in Argentina. You've lived in different places of the world, so your thinking has been expanded. But if you ever debate causes you to come out of who you are and your experience and look at the facts abstractly, without partiality. What were you going to say?
Well,
Well, that's why he's retrained, so we're like, okay, fine what you're saying. You want to buy it?
The Dutch are pretty close to the Jews, right?
What I like as well is what I saw with the debating of the way of the master.
Hmm.
The people went there with really harsh questions, you know? And they were like, ah, yeah.
That's a good question.
I'm going to
come back to
you. Yeah, I'm going to come back to you.
I know.
But where are you going to spend your life when you die?
Amen,
you know?
Amen.
They just went constantly back to the gospel.
Amen. I'm all for that, and that is really, when you're soul winning, like when we go door to door, that is our main approach. But I'm telling you, on the job, you're working with somebody day in, day out. You can't just say, that's a good question, and then never answer it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody, your coworker, says, so where did Cain get his wife? You want to win him to God. And you can say, well, that's a good question. We'll come back to it. But let me tell you, you need to say, if you keep putting them off, they will never listen to you. Mm-hmm. But if you do give an answer, they'll go, well, what else does that Bible say? So I know what you're saying. Just in its place, there are times when you don't need to answer and when you do need to answer. That's my point.
Mm-hmm.
Abstract thinking. Analytical thinking. That's learning how to examine every truth a person claims to hold. So somebody says, well, this is what I hold to. Okay, well, let's analyze it. Etiquette. Learn how to speak the truth in love. Will you? Now, listen, when you're preaching, you need to just cry aloud and spare not, man. But etiquette means when you're debating, make sure you do it, correcting them in love. Cross-examine, question, always make every truth stand up to testing. Point of view. Learn how to see each other's point of view. They may be just whom the God of this world hath blinded. Imagine what you're telling them about blue, and they're blind. Can you describe blue to a blind person who's been blind all their life? No. So imagine, I'm kind of stupid trying to explain to them about something. I better explain to them something they can understand, all right? It's just learning how to think what they can understand. Distinguishing fact from opinion. This is vital because most held beliefs are fiction. Identifying bias, whether in your opponent or even in yourself. You could be very biased. A lot of people, when I come to the door, they're biased. You're American. Right off the bat, all right? A woman says, you're male. I mean, they're biases. You've got to identify that and overcome it. Research. You got to learn how to study. You got to learn how to research your point. You want to teach somebody a position. How about creationism? The fact that I was talking to somebody there just this past week. So you really, it was a discipleship. It was Tony White. He says, so you would really, really hold to the earth is only 6,000 years old? I said, yes. He said, why? I said, are you ready to be here for 6 hours? He says, you got that much evidence? And so I just gave him 3 or 4 different points. And he went, wow. I says, there's some stuff you can watch, some DVDs, some helps. But the point being that you can't just say, yep, I believe it. Okay, good. I'm glad you believe in creation. But do some research so that you can say all the evidence points to a recent creation. The fact that everything, he said, what about the dinosaurs? I said, dinosaurs were on the ark. And all the rest of them died, and they almost all died in clumps. Huge piles of dinosaur bones because they were running from the flood. You don't find, here's a dinosaur bone here, here's another dinosaur bone over there. They're all piled in dinosaur graveyards, and it proves that they were running from something. And when you find woolly mammoths and others, you find them dead with unchewed vegetation in their mouth. Frozen solid. How did that happen so fast? A cataclysmic event called the flood would explain it. So I believe it because the Bible says it, but then the evidence. So research. Do some research. Organize your information. I'm going to try to teach you how to organize your information so that you can use it in your arguments. Teamwork. You're going to not just sit there and go, well, we'll rely on Thomas. He's got an apple. He's got the internet. He's smart. He knows how to work. No, no, no. Every one of you need to learn how to organize your information and work together as a team. Divide up your side. Divide up work. Persuasion. How to actually change your opponent's mind in public speaking. Get you not so you're not afraid to stand up and speak up and then shut up in public speaking. Debating can become sinful when debating is an end in itself. When you argue just for argument's sake. when you really don't care about the other side and are not respectful enough to listen to their other side. Quickly, biblical definitions. Let's look at some of these words that are in your Bible. Debate is not actually in your Bible, but some of these words are part of your scheme. Hmm? I didn't remember. I didn't look it up. A lot of the other ones I'll look up here in a second. Maybe. I don't. Sorry. But it is a negative word. It is a competition, but as far as a debate that we're talking about here is a competition in which two opposing teams make speeches to support their arguments. Oh, debate is, and it talks about, yes, it takes a work of the flesh. Yes. That's right. But a debate here is a proper thing in that it's two opposing sides supporting their arguments and disagreeing with those of the other team. B, resolution. That is the opinion about which two teams argue. We resolve that this is true. And the other person says, no, it's false. You have an affirmative team. They agree with the resolution. And you have a negative team. They disagree with the resolution. All right? I could make a resolution that all women are evil. Okay, we'd have an affirmative team. Yes, we agree. The other one's saying, no, we like them. All right. Those are the two teams, okay? And they have a resolution. You have a rebuttal, which explains why one team disagrees with the other team. A rebuttal is an explanation. Judges decide the winner. I'll be your judge. And then the Bible has all of these terms, like argue, to offer reasons to support or overthrow a proposition, opinion, or measure. There's nothing wrong with arguing if it is done as an adult, not like children argue. Children are not ever, in my Bible or in my home, ever allowed to argue. But adults are. You've got a disagreement with me? Come and present your argument. You say, Pastor, I don't think we should argue like an adult. But some kid going, I don't think we ought to eat this broccoli.
That's, by the way, I learned that with when I was working in help desk. You have three levels of the human, how they think.
Mm.
You have the child, you have the grown up, and you have the elder or the... the parent. That's it. Parent, grown up, and child. And it depends on how you speak to somebody. If I go to you with authority, like adult in a way, you will slip into your child mode. And you will go like, you know, like you start defending in that aggressive way. But if I go to you as an adult and stay at the same level, you will try to go back to me as an adult. And that's how you have the three levels. Amen. Which interact.
Yes. Reason there, again, a lot of these are from Job, to arrange and present the reasons for or against an opinion, to examine or discuss a stated fact by arguments, to debate or discuss with the goal of persuading the other person. That's what it means to reason. Come now, let us reason together. I want you to see my side, God says. Adversary. Go to thine adversary, Matthew 5 says. That's the opposing person. Be careful not to see every opponent as your adversary, though. Just be quick to settle arguments before they become court cases. That's what Jesus is saying. There is a time where your adversary, if you're not careful, if you don't try to fix this thing, it could become a court case or somebody takes you to court. An advocate is those who side with you and stand for you. Proving. Malachi 3:10 says, come now, prove me herewith, if I will not open the windows of heaven. Prove means put me to the test. To establish a statement as true by testing and thorough examination. Subverting. 2 Timothy 2:14 says, don't spend your time just striving, but subvert your hearer. It's usually a negative word, but here it means to change your opponent's mind, getting truth to take over their way of living. Disputing is to argue against something maintained, upheld, or claimed by another. Here in this verse, Paul was disputing the Jewish ideas against Jesus being the Messiah. Persuading. To convince by argument or by reasons offered or suggested from reflection. To cause, to believe. We're persuaded of better things of you, Paul says. Pleading. I like this. It's to argue in support of a claim or in defense against the claim of another. To urge reasons for or against a thing. To plead. You ever hear of, you know, I'm pleading with you. All right. I'm asking you to change your mind. Fair debate. Let's have fun. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel chapter 18, and go back to John. I don't remember where I left off, but John, if you'll, Ezekiel 18:25.
Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal.
Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal?
Wow. So he's trying to get them to realize, wow, we've got to have a fair debate here. We've got to be able to see who we really are. You're saying I'm unequal. You're saying that I'm unfair. Well, let me tell you, you're being unfair. And it is a battle to have a fair debate about, yeah, you're right, I am being this or I am being that. And anytime you ever get an argument, the first half of the argument is trying to get each other to see themselves as they really are. Judging, judge, justifying. Psalm 51:4. Thomas, Psalm 51:4. Now my point, if you look at all these scriptures, is to show you the Bible is a debating book. It's an arguing book, it's a discussing book, it's a reasoning book.
Okay, can I go?
Please.
Against thee, thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest.
Judges. Okay, so... David is taking the blame so that you would be justified, God, when you speak and be clear when thou judgest. And David saying, I justify you, I don't blame you, I take the blame. If somebody wants to accuse anybody, they can't accuse you as being wrong. I did wrong. He's talking about Bathsheba, okay? And you cannot, the quickest way to get out of court is to go right to the judge and says, it's your fault. You don't go to the judge and blame the judge, all right? So there is a time when in a debate, two groups are debating and the judge, and they say, all decisions are final, okay? And that's how we're gonna deal with this thing. R, entering into judgment is when you go into a court case for final judgment, for or against you. And accuse, Acts 24:13, Graham.
Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me.
Okay. I forgot it was that short. Paul is standing before council, and he's got the Pharisees and Sadducees on one side. I don't remember who he's standing for. Chapter 24, he must be standing before, not Agrippa, but...
Felix.
Is it Felix or Festus? I can't remember, sorry. But he's sitting there saying, they're accusing me of doing such and such. They can't prove it. So to accuse is to charge with a fault or to claim something is not true. And if ever you've had an accusation against you, especially something that's untrue, you'll find it very hard to disprove. Because people believe an accusation more than they believe the truth. And Paul says,
Isn't that also the name of the devil?
The accuser of the brethren, yes. Opening and alleging, Acts 17:2 and 3, Eric.
Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preached, or preach unto you, is Christ.
Okay, so when he's opening, he's making an opening argument. He's alleging, he's making his opening statements, and he's opening up for debate, that Christ must needs have come and suffered and died. That's the beginning of a debate. And then finally, cross-examining and verifying. Acts 17:11, Barry.
These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so.
My biggest word in there was whether they were so. They checked to see whether the Apostle Paul was right. Okay? So cross-examining. Never believing something simply because somebody says something. It has to always have two or three witnesses. One of them has to be the Bible. All right, we're going to stop there. Next week, we'll talk about foundations of thought and the foundations for, and then the priority of debate and the history of debate. This thing will move rather rapidly. And now, your book, the thing, now you don't have to pay today, but as you get the ability, you can start paying, and the book is... you can start reading it. It's 20. It's 25 for each of the three classes, and then 24 the book. It's just expensive getting it here, and everything's just sad. You can go ahead and start reading it. I don't mind, but you won't be have to read until next week. Really, you can go ahead and read pages 1 to 9 and get you started on the ideas and the foundations for debate. All right, let's stand. So, Graham, did you survive?
Yeah.
All that stored up sleep helped you?
Won't be there next week, though.